Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, this season is all about lighting up the darkness, but not in Puerto Rico. More than 3 months after Hurricane Maria devastated the island, more than half of Puerto Rico still is without power. Now, the original goal was to restore power to everyone by Christmas, but the island is now facing the possibility of 6 more months without electricity from its main power grid. This would be the longest blackout in American history. So let's say it again. Puerto Rico is an American territory. Conditions there are so challenging that NGOs, usually deployed to international humanitarian disasters, are deploying to Puerto Rico. Well, joining us now is Abby Maxman. She's the CEO and president of Oxfam America, and she's just back from the island. She joins us in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks. So good to be here, Meghna.
Well, first of all, I mean, tell us, you just got back from Puerto Rico. I mean, give us a brief sense. What did you see when you were there?
Well, I saw an island where the people were working hard on their own recovery. As is often the case, communities are resilient and do their ever best to clear the debris and bring back and resume normal livelihoods as soon as possible. But to date, and even in the municipality of San Juan and many of the municipalities, power is not on consistently or not on at all in the majority of cases, and access to clean water doesn't exist yet. Potable water is a commodity in short supply, and people are still recovering, and they've lost some hope and trust in having their rights fulfilled in a dignified recovery.
And absolutely nobody could blame them. I mean, it's been months now, right? So about the electricity and the intermittent or non-existent power in places, I mean, tell us about some of the lower level effects that happens, because, you know, until the power goes out, we don't realize how essential it is for just about everything that we do every day. So how is that playing out in Puerto Rico?
Well, the connectedness of the power to the water system is a huge one. But these are people who, many of them, their homes have been damaged badly. So they're not even living in conditions where they're covered, and it still rains periodically. It's not hurricane season. But electricity is a way of life in a developed country such as the United States. Mm. And in a wealthy country, we do expect, as Oxfam, that the response will be fast and that basic services such as power, water, will be provided very quickly. And that's not happening, and it didn't happen in the case of Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I mean, so clean water, keeping food fresh. I imagine, you know, in the digital age, there's a lot of aspects of things that we need to get done online that perhaps a lot of Puerto Ricans can't get access to now.
That's right. Yeah. And I'm glad you're mentioning that, Meghna, because in terms of support for recovery and rebuilding, some of FEMA's requirements require online completion of forms. Huh. And so with most of the island without power and many in the population without access to internet, it's a catch-22, a negative spiral of not being able to meet deadlines and navigate the basic requirements that people might have to overcome to be able to get resources to start rebuilding.
Yeah. So Oxfam America has only deployed its assistance to large-scale disasters in the United States twice. Is that right? Once after Katrina and now in Puerto Rico?
That's correct. It really is a set of extraordinary circumstances that had us respond and make this unique decision to do so. As I mentioned, we do expect wealthy governments to fulfill their responsibilities of providing basic services, including emergency response to their citizens. And in this case, as in Katrina, in this case, we did not respond immediately. We waited and monitored the situation. We didn't have standing capacity on the ground. And after 2 weeks, on October 2nd, about 2 weeks after the hurricane hit, we felt that it was unconscionable that the speed of the recovery was so slow, and our own advocacy needed to be grounded in on-the-ground response and support to the people in need.
Okay, so when you were just there recently, though, I mean, did your view change about the U.S. government's response, or do you still feel that it's not adequate.
There's so much that needs to be done. When I went earlier this week, it was the 90-day mark, 3 full months. Most of the people living without power, I went through, I was on much of the island in 3 municipalities, and you could see the massive amount of debris and damage to houses, to homes, to businesses, to buildings. And people had worked hard on their own to clear that clutter out of the roads, to release, to open up arteries and access so that relief could be provided. And it wasn't yet being provided. People were counting on their own resourcefulness and those local partners who were inadequately resourced. And we've been working with local partners to strengthen their capacity to respond in a sustainable way.
Yeah. Now, I imagine in other places that you've been deployed to internationally, you're going to places where the governments there either do not have the capacity to respond, or for whatever political reason, aren't terribly motivated to do so. I mean, I don't know. Pick your humanitarian disaster. But what in your mind is preventing the United States federal government to amp up its response in the Puerto Rican case?
One of the things that this disaster uncovered was the depth and breadth of poverty and inequality in Puerto Rico. So the systems that would normally be strong and enable a fast recovery and resuming power and access to water quickly weren't in place. And I heard repeatedly over the course of this week that what this disaster has done, it's unveiled a deep-seated issue of poverty, inequality, and discrimination affecting the majority of the people of Puerto Rico. 2 million out of its 3.5 million inhabitants, U.S. citizens all, are living below the poverty line. Poverty levels are double that of the state of Mississippi, and that's a huge proportion of poverty. So there's underinvestment in the basic social services and infrastructure in Puerto Rico, and now's the time to build back stronger and better.
Yeah. We've got just about a minute to go here. I have to say, what compounds that extant challenge you're talking about is that many of Puerto Rico's most capable people now are trying to leave the island or have left because it's hard to live there. I mean, just got about 30 seconds here. Are you concerned that that's just going to make it that much harder for the island to recover?
Indeed. I mean, that's a concern of those who are staying and those who have left. People want to support Puerto Rico. And I met with local partners who are doing incredible work and we're working with and who are staying. And they're working hard to stay to provide a better life for their fellow citizens and for their own livelihoods. They want to be there, but we need to step up and provide that support and enabling environment and keep the attention on their recovery.
Mm. Well, Abby Maxman is CEO and president of Oxfam America. She was just in Puerto Rico for quite some time. Oxfam America has deployed its assistance resources there, and she's recently back. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Magna.
Well, you know, we just talked about Puerto Ricans having to leave the island. Bostonian Elvin Zayas Lai, he's here now, and he decided to bring his family, his parents, to Boston because they have been through a lot in the wake of Hurricane Maria. And he said, in fact, they are excited to spend Christmas together here in Boston, even though it took a lot to get them here. And that excitement really kicked off when Elvin's mother, brother, and father all saw snow for the very first time.
My mother became sort of like a model herself, posting, you know, different way of looking and then me taking picture and asking me, oh, what about this? What about that? And changing position. It was such a nice time, you know. Christmas began that day for me where I finally saw what a white, soft experience, which is snow, transformed the spirit of a human being after such a stressful time that they experienced before. I think that it paused a moment in life to think what is important, which is family.
A little hope in a hard time. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.